Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and today is Tuesday, April 19th. This is our weekly look at news and people around the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. This is always a fun time of year around the Jaguars. The draft is a little over a week away now. But each day on the walk down the rubber hallway, that's from the front office to the training table, which is the lunchroom here at Everbank Field, you pass a few things. You pass some positional meeting rooms, a lot of construction right now. The entrance to the locker room is there, and even the entrance to the weight room. And through those walls and those doors and those windows, you can hear music blaring most days, the clank of plates against one another. And that's since the season has been on a voluntary basis, players in working out on their own. But now it is officially voluntary. The official off-season program is underway this week at Everbank Field. And it comes in three phases. Phase one is a strength and conditioning portion for 2 weeks with meetings involved as well. Phase two is 3 weeks long, and that consists of on-field workouts, including individual player instruction and drills, as well as some team practice that's conducted on separate basis. So that means no live contact or team offense versus team defense drills. And finally, phase three is 4 weeks long, and that's when teams have their 10 days of organized team activities, or OTAs as we call them. No live contact allowed, but you'll see 7-on-7 work in the passing game, 9-on-7 in the running game, and 11-on-11 drills. They're all permitted during OTAs. Also, teams hold a mandatory minicamp for veteran players, but that must occur during phase three of the offseason program. The Jags' mandatory minicamp is June 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. All of that said, the strength and conditioning portion is underway right now in Phase 1. But what can the Jags get accomplished in this time? Today we'll visit with Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator Tom Mazlinski, a former NFL player with seven teams in the league, including the Jaguars in 1995. We'll find out what the Jags are up to the next couple of weeks in the weight room and how the strength programs have changed over the years in the NFL. But first, let's get to some headlines from around the Jaguars organization. We'll start with Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. His new Blake Bortles Foundation held the inaugural golf tournament this weekend down at King and Bear at the World Golf Village in St. Augustine. And it all started with a concert and a kickoff Friday night, and I had the pleasure of serving as MC of that event at the Renaissance Hotel Convention Center. Packed house, great crowd, fun time, country artists Ira Dean and John Party entertained, and around $75,000 was raised on the live auction items alone. That included an African hunting trip, four tickets to the Super Bowl, and 2 week-long passes to the players and all four majors in the coming calendar year. Some really good prizes in the live auction. Oh, the silent auction had plenty of cool items too. They all went for big bucks, including football and golf memorabilia, along with some Bill Murray autographed movie posters and other items as well. No official totals have been announced yet, but Bortles did say he was going to match what was raised to double the benefit to the foundation. And at the end of the day, it could be well over a couple $100,000. They ended up teeing off for golf Saturday morning. And then Saturday evening, another series of concerts, including Joe Bachman and the Tailgaters and Kane Brown. And Bortles Foundation is set to support children with intellectual and developmental challenges in their pursuit of full independent lives. But it also supports first responders with the goal of improving their ability to safely carry out their vital life-saving work. And if anything tells you about how the weekend went, Bortles put out a tweet Saturday right after golf that said, "Slung my mom out of a golf cart, so it was a good time. Hashtag that's what's up. Hashtag walk it off, Sue." Yeah, pretty good golf weekend down in St. Augustine. Visit BlakeBortlesFoundation.org. The 2016 schedule was released Thursday night. You've known since the end of the regular season the home and road opponents for 2016. But on Thursday, finally came the order. Now, schedule breakdowns in April are far from accurate, as a lot of off-season and regular season can happen before a game to make circumstances change for that game. But the early portion of the schedule is shaping up to be a good challenge for a revamped Jaguars defense. Week 1 against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers here in the Florida heat, bring them on. Week 2 in San Diego against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Week 3 at home against Flacco and the Ravens. And week 4 in London against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get a really good idea quickly if the defense has taken a step forward in 2016. One other note about the Jags game in London against the Colts. The Jags have their bye week the week after that game. That's been the case for every team that's ever played in London. But this year, the Colts asked to have their bye week later in the season. So the league obliged. The week after London, the Colts will play at home against the Chicago Bears in Week 5. The Colts' bye week is scheduled for Week 10. Now, this is a good test to see how a team responds without a bye, and another test to the logistics portion in the future feasibility of a franchise in the UK. A full video recap of the 2016 schedule is available from Thursday night with Brian Sexton, John Osier, and myself on Jaguars.com. And finally, as of Tuesday, April 19th, we're 9 days away from the 2016 NFL Draft. At the end of this week is when Dave Caldwell said that they normally have their pick ready and in mind. Well, this Friday is also the pre-draft media luncheon at Everbank Field, where Caldwell and Gus Bradley eat lunch, answer questions from a table filled with local media members asking about the draft. This is Caldwell's fourth luncheon, and he's yet to show his hand in the previous three. Don't expect him to start now. Now time to get to our guest today on the J.P. Shattuck podcast. And as we said earlier, players are back in the building this week officially for phase one of the offseason program. That means strength and conditioning coordinator Tom Mislinski is a busy man. What's up, Milo?
Hey, J.P., how you doing?
Great. You took some time out of the busy the weight room.
Well, you know what? They've had about 4 months off, so I haven't did anything for 4 months. So it's about a time for me to get to work.
Right.
I'm obviously very, you know, I'm kidding here. We've had a lot of guys in, so it's been fantastic. We're really looking forward to getting everybody back in and getting ready to go.
Officially now, you can work with guys on strength and conditioning for the next 2 weeks, I believe, is phase one. So what do you do on a daily basis with these guys?
Well, the big thing is really when guys come back, it's kind of assessed to figure out if guys haven't been around, what they've been doing. You know, we got to find out medically. You know, they'll go through a system of checks with our athletic trainers and our orthopedic surgeons. And then we'll take them through, you know, functional movement screens in the weight room. We just got to kind of figure out, you know, if they've had any, you know, kind of what their body's telling us. You know, their bodies are all tell us individual stories, and we got to figure them out so we can train them individually so they can be the best player that they can be.
That's the challenge of this thing is that from the end of the regular season until right now, it's truly up in the air. It's up to the player to decide when they want to work, if they want to work out. They can do it here, and you can supervise just to make sure people are doing things right.
Correct.
Other than that, you can't touch them. So it's really up to the player.
Right, right. And it's very important. The athlete has to meet you 50-50. You know, are they a professional athlete or are they being paid to be a professional? That's very important.
Big difference.
Big difference. You know, and it's, you know, different, JP, because, you know, every athlete has their own needs analysis depending on the position that they play, their own little, you know, idiosyncrasies that they have, and you know we got to, and their nuances, and we just got to kind of refigure them out again. You know, you kind of know, you know, all the older guys, but you got to kind of see what they've been doing, and then you got all the new guys coming in, you know, and so we got to learn them. And so I like to tell them I really want to learn their body more than they know their body. And you know, the big thing that we preach is communication. The better they can communicate to us, and the better off we can train them. So that's really important.
Tom Mislinski is with us, the Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator. Do you get past history of the new guys from the other teams, or how does that work?
Sure. Yeah, no, we have a meeting with our athletic training staff, and, you know, we get their medical history. And, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, we kind of know from being around, you know, you kind of know who they are. You see them play. It's, you know, working in the NFL, you kind of know who everybody is. And, right. You know, you might talk to another strength coach and kind of get little, deals and, you know, the kind of what athletes like to do or what they don't like to do. But, you know, really it's my job to learn that athlete and to, you know, develop a relationship with that athlete.
Going back a little bit to that time period from the season to now, you know, just walking around here from day to day, walking down the lunch or whatever you do, you hear the clanking of the weights in the weight room and the music blaring. So that means guys are around, but there are a lot of guys around here. That's a good thing, and that's not a normal thing in the league. Right?
No, it's not. And you know what? To me, that's a credit to the culture that, you know, Dave and Gus have established here, and it's you know, been super. Our guys really, really enjoy each other. They enjoy being around each other. They enjoy being in the weight room. And you know, to me, I really, as an ex-player, try to make the weight room very player friendly. I want guys want to come in and get better, and that's what it's all about. You know, I want each of those players to be the best that they can be, and to make most money that they can, that they, you know, they can make. I mean, to me, I'm all about taking care of them. I love them.
So you give guys a schedule of workouts, I guess, at the end of the regular season, and it's certainly up to them whether they follow that or not. You'll find out pretty quick whether they did or didn't if they get back in this week. So I don't want to go too individual on this, but is there, maybe for offensive linemen, is there a certain standard that they must meet when they be back?
No, you know what? I mean, to me, I just want to see them at least kind of where they were when they left.
Okay.
You know, so I kind of have a general idea. I mean, I know where all their, let's say, maxes were from last year, you know, and not saying that we're going to max, but not saying we're going to max test everybody, but I just kind of generally know where they are, you know, and if they walk in, you know, and they got to kind of pass the eye test too, you know, so if you see a guy walks, well, I've been working real hard this offseason, you're like, really, you have?
Working in the lunchroom.
Yeah, well, you know, because usually you can see if guys have been, you know, training. So, and then, you know, we're going to take them outside, we're going to do fitness tests with them too. You know, I want to see, you know, we're going to have heart rate monitors on them. We want to see that guys are, you know, they can recover. To me, the game of football is all about recovery. You know, if you training's great, but it's, you know, recovery is very important in the sport.
Tom Maslinski is with us, Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator. You touched on something that I just really hadn't thought about until right now. The heart rate monitors, the GPS tracking, all of that technology over the last few years has changed information for you, right?
Sure.
That's certainly helped your whole department.
Yeah, 100%. You know the big thing with, let's use the quote unquote sports science term. I mean, really, it best way to describe it as, you probably 90% you know what's going on. It's just going to kind of give you that extra 10% to kind of get you over the hump. It really teaches a little things that you kind of overlooked in the past that maybe you deemed not so important or as being more important. It really allows you to you know, zero in. So, for example, our offensive linemen, you can see, you know, how many accelerations and decelerations they have and what's their high-speed sprint distance. So when you prepare those workouts to send them home, you know actually how to prepare them, to train them to what they, you know, so when they come back, they're going to be expected to be at, you know, at this state because you've led them to that state. And so it's easier to program workouts when you send them home now.
You mentioned earlier you were an NFL player, 60 games, 25 starts in the league, stints with seven teams, including the Jaguars in 1995. How different are strength programs now in the NFL as compared to your time as a player?
Well, I think the big difference has been the collective bargaining agreement. You know, that's really, you know, before that would be about 13 weeks, and now we're down to 9 weeks. So
that's a big difference.
Yeah, so like in our phase one, they have 2 weeks with us currently. And, you know, before, if we said the phase one prior to the old CBA, they would have really, you know, anywhere from 4 weeks, and, you know, they would spend probably 2 months with the strength and conditioning coaches. So the traditional off-season training is not there like it used to be. So it is quite different.
What was your motivation to get into this business when you were playing? I mean, then you knew your career was not going to last forever. Everybody's career ends. Why strength?
Well, I had to do things other guys wouldn't do, and I had to find a way to survive. To be honest with you, I was the jack of all trades, master of none. I was the six man, the swing guy, and I had to optimize my abilities. And, you know, I was one of the shortest offensive linemen, and I had to figure out a way to get it done. And really, strength and conditioning kind of led me down that path, and it just kept taking me down that path. And, you know, I had a lot of great mentors along the way, and, you know, they taught me about the game, how to take care of myself, and I feel that's kind of my role, is teaching young guys how to take care of themselves so they can optimize their abilities.
You've got, 90 players on the roster you work with, but you got some players at home you work with too. What's the difference in Milo, the strength coach, and Milo, the dad of an athlete, maybe?
Well, I think being a dad, I think there's a big, you know, big carryover. I'm not the coach at home that I am in the building.
No,
I'm sure I still have my ways, but you know, I think I've learned to separate them over the course of three children.
Yeah, I guess the approach might be a little different, right?
Well, you know what? If they were here, they might argue that point, but I think that I am a little bit different. I think it's hard being a young parent, you know, and it's hard, you know, you want the best for your kids, but, you know, a lot of times you got to let the kids figure out what, you know, the path that they want to take also.
Tom Maslinski is with us, Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator. All right, I've got to get in shape, Milo. I'm 6'3". I'm around 245-ish, somewhere in there. I guess if I stop eating like a horse, I'd be okay, right? Would that be a good start?
Well, they call it negative caloric cost, meaning you got to burn off more than you take in.
Negative caloric cost. Yeah. Okay. Got that.
Yeah. We come start hanging out down with us. Yeah. I've never seen you in the weight room, JP.
I haven't seen me in the weight room either.
I'd love to have you come down. visit us.
So what's the start? Like, if I were to get started out of nowhere, you can't just start lifting 200 pounds.
You got to start with what's appropriate for your threshold. I mean, you have to start at some point, and then as you get better, you increase the intensity of your exercise. I mean, you got to start simple to get complex.
Well, I want complex. Everybody wants the result.
Right? Everybody wants it. That's P90X. It's what everybody wants. You know, have it your way. Burger King. That's what everybody wants.
I love the Burger King portion of this.
You know, yeah. So,
hey, Milo, I know you're busy the next couple of weeks. We appreciate your time. We'll look forward to the results, I guess, in the next few weeks. When the guys get out on the field, we'll see it for ourselves in the next few weeks. But I know this is a busy time for you and your staff. I don't want to leave your staff out because your guys
awesome.
Help you out a whole lot. Jess and Sed and Alex and those guys are great. A little bit about those guys and what do they do for
you? Yeah, they're incredible. You know, in the strength conditioning, because we are so specialized, you know, you have to have, you know, you got to have your unique tools, you know. And so, you know, Sed does a great job. You know, he's an ex-player too. He helps me in the weight room with the guys, does a fantastic job. And then Jess really helps me with a lot of the correctives, a lot of the rehabs that we work hand in hand with our athletic trainers with. And then there's Alex that helps me with all the sports science stuff. And so, you know, I really have a great staff. You know, just if you're an offensive coordinator, if I'm Ole, I can't hire, you know, five offensive line coaches. You know, I got to kind of hire a running back coach and a quarterback coach. That's essentially the same thing that we do, you know, but it is our field is becoming very specialized, you know. And so it's nice for our field that it's starting to make that transition. But it's also a lot of work. You know, we got to stay up on it. You know, information doubles pretty quick. So and we got to figure out the right way and the wrong way to train guys and what's best for the guys, because no two guys are alike.
At the end of the day, you just want to be stronger than the guy across from you, right?
Yeah, that's a big deal, especially if you're an offensive lineman. You know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, strength's a big deal.
Milo, it's good to see you. We appreciate your time, man.
You got it, JP. Thanks.
Coming up this week, players in the building, team meeting scheduled Tuesday, and then media availability Wednesday. Look out Wednesday on Jaguars.com for live coverage of press conferences as the players are back in the building for the off-season program. Also this week, more golf. Not Jaguars related, but the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Tournament down at the World Golf Village Thursday and Friday night. As it says on their website, back in 01, actor Bill Murray and his five brothers opened the restaurant there and created the charity golf tournament to partner with various charities to better lives and communities across the country. In the 15-year history, the tournament has raised over $4 million. It's always a tight squeeze, but for more information, visit murraybrosgolf.com. And Friday, as we mentioned earlier, the media draft luncheon at Everbank Field. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, well, they'll eat lunch with local media for on-the-record thoughts about the upcoming draft. Always interesting to try to read in some of those final public thoughts before the draft begins. Our thanks to Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator Tom Mazlinski for his time on a busy week. And as always, a special thanks to Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on the JP Shadrick Podcast.